Are you ready to think big and act bold? Then you are in the right place. This is Innovative Entrepreneurs, a podcast that will bring you the stories, insights, and tips from some of the most successful and innovative entrepreneurs in the world. I am your host, Erica Bailey, and I am here to help you start, scale, and sustain your own entrepreneurial journey. Let's get started. Today, I am talking to Raphael, but they call him Ralph McGowan. He is a dynamic entrepreneur and a business consultant from the Sunshine Coast of Australia. He is apparently passionate about outdoor activities and committed to sun safety. We're going to get more into that in just a minute. He is the creative force behind a company called Backslap. I had to look that one up, but it's cool. Hold on. It's an Australian innovation. It's gaining traction in e-commerce and retail. Raph is also a business consultant, a university lecturer, and a passionate advocate for sun safety and skin cancer prevention. He will share with us his journey of creating Backslap, how he scaled it in a local invention to a global sensation. Oh, this is cool. And what his plans are for expanding into the United States market. Raph, thank you for joining me. I appreciate you taking the time and for joining me.
Thank you, Erica. Great way to start a Saturday morning for me.
Oh, heck yeah. Friday afternoon, Saturday morning. So can y'all tell he's from Australia yet? I can. Oh, I just love the accent. You love the accent. So talk to me about what Backslap is. And, you know, I read your story and I'd like for you to share, if you don't mind, you know, what the product is and why it is.
Certainly. I think behind any business idea, I've always been looking for something that I'm passionate about. I had the idea in my late teens that I wanted to have my own business. I'd meet some people who had gone down that path. My parents were a traditional path. They were teaching and education. And from conversations with other people who had started their own business from scratch, there was something that was exciting about it. But it wasn't until early 30s that I finally committed and started my business journey. Before that, I left Australia when I was 20 to travel for 3 months. And then the plan was I would come back, go to university. However, that 3 months turned into 5 years. And the first stop was actually the US for a couple of years, in Minnesota, down in Tennessee, out in LA. And since that first time, I've probably been back and forth to the US on 7 occasions. And absolutely loved it. So then traveling for 5 years, I realized, okay, it's now the time to go to university. Went to university, got some good foundation skills, but I still wasn't quite sure what I wanted to do. Oh. And I thought, you know what? I should do something a little bit fun because I committed for the last 4 years. I've worked hard and I happened to chat to a friend who was based in the US. He studied abroad on the Sunshine Coast for a year. We became great friends. And he said to me, him and his best friend, they're going to cycle from the East Coast, from starting in Oregon and finish on the West Coast on a bike. And he said he didn't invite me. He just was letting me know that this is what they're doing for about 3 months. I called him back the next day and I said, I'd love to join. I haven't been on a bike probably more than 10 minutes in most of my life. You'd ride to a friend's house around the block. That was it. That was the only cycling I'd ever done. And I hadn't owned a bike since I was probably in my early teens. And so I had four months to get prepared. So I bought a bike, put some panniers on the side. Then I started putting weights in them, riding around the Sunshine Coast and put the bike in a box, went over, met them in Oregon. And yeah, a couple of days later, we set off and it was very much about the ride to begin with. Okay. And then very quickly that changed and it all became about the people that we were meeting. What could we share with them? What could they give back to us? We could really give our stories and our time. And these people, hundreds of them, we would meet, would open up a part of their life to us. So many people said, hey, where are you staying tonight? We live in the next town. Come and stay at our place. We've got a spare room. We'd call churches of any denomination or firehouses about 4 or 5 days in advance. And they would always say, not a problem. We'll leave some keys under the mat. Help yourself. Just clean up when you're done. And we just couldn't believe the kindness of everyone. So it really made it such a special journey. However, my life changed during that ride. So after about 60 or so days, one morning, we had one phone between the three of us. It started ringing and my friend, his name's John, gave it to me. He's like, looks like an Australian number. And it was my dad. And dad said to me, he was pretty blunt, like in a compassionate way. He just said, look, your sister has gone to have a mole removed that was on her back. And it came back that it's melanoma. And then probably the strongest part was that he said they're giving her less than 12 months to live. It was just such a shock because the day before I'm in this great state, you got freedom, life's wonderful, lots of laughs. And then suddenly the reality that your sister has been given time, that she's going to pass. So that was very tough for the next couple of days. And I know that I was quite silent. And then eventually I shared it, continued writing for a few more days and just said, I have to go and stay with my uncle and his family who are in Tennessee because I need to be in communication with what's going on. So that's what I did. And then I came back to Australia. All our family rallied around. We moved to Sydney where my sister was living and we were with her to make sure she was never alone for those last few months. And it was 11 months from when she was diagnosed that she did pass away. And it was quite special the time after that because something changed inside me and I was like, I feel like I've got what I'm passionate about. Like something was starting to grow and I didn't know quite what yet. So for the next couple of years, I would volunteer with some organizations who were doing a lot of research around skin cancer. They were doing awareness events. And I thought after this, so my sister passed in 2012 and then it was 2014. And I thought, you know what? A lot of our family are healing. A lot of my sister's friends are healing, but she's not really celebrated. Her name's not really shared. And I just didn't want it to sort of for her to dip away because she had a young daughter at the time and her daughter would be slowly getting older. And I wanted to make sure she had lots of good memories of her mum. So I decided to do something where I'd combine cycling because that's what I was doing at the time when I found out that news with something positive, which was a big awareness event in Australia to do with skin cancer and melanoma. So I decided to get on a bike again and ride halfway across Australia, finishing in Sydney at the launch of this big event. And that way it would generate lots of awareness across the country around skin cancer, but encourage people to be a part of this event. So that went really well. And I organized that whilst working full time over about 12 months. And it started with an idea and then it grew into having a website, then getting some sponsors on board and then getting Toyota on board, them giving us vehicles, fuel cards, like it just accommodation donated. And then every town we'd go through, communities would cycle with us, leaving the town in the morning. And then they would meet us on the outskirts and ride in. And then each night you'd talk to different groups. You'd pull over on the side of the road during the day. And then you'd do a phone interview with a local radio station. And then you'd do an interview with the TV. And it was just surreal, but it was amazing that you start with one idea, but so many people, because you're trying to do something good, just want to be a part of it. And I had my mum and another one of my sisters driving the support vehicles. So they were there with me, sharing it. We document every day. And when that finished, I just knew I couldn't go back to what I was doing, which was more of a corporate role in Sydney. And I had this idea in the back of my mind. It wasn't quite called Backslap then. It was something. And I'd worked on a little business plan and then it would sit there. And then you get back to it a couple months later in between work and just wasn't really getting off the ground. So I thought passionately enough about it that, okay, here's a fork in the road and I'm going to commit. So I resigned from my job. I moved back to the Sunshine Coast and that was it. The next week I sat down and I remember sitting down and going, okay, I've committed to getting this business idea off the ground. What do I do now?
What do I do now? Like, you take the leap into the choice, right? Into the, you know, you get comfortable with being uncomfortable and you take that leap. But then what do I do now, man? That question is.
Yeah.
So what did you do?
So the idea was that I noticed a lot of people just through observation, going to the beach, walking around shopping centers, particularly in summer, always having that burnt part of their batch or burnt part of their back. And I'd be like, oh. And then I did a little bit of research once I started volunteering and realized that it's the most at-risk place to get burnt on your back, but people couldn't reach it. And I couldn't really find a solution. And the idea was that, okay, I'd create a solution for it, some type of product. I'd never designed a product, had no idea how to bring an idea to life, but I thought that's what I would do. But the product would always be secondary. And I thought this would just be the talking point. And then you'd be able to create awareness, different campaigns, work with other brands to really get that message out there in a new, fun and creative way. But then the product would provide revenue for the business, but it would also always come back to, oh, what is that? Why was it created? And that would be the opportunity that whoever is aware of it can then share. This is why it was created. And this is the purpose behind it. E.g., be sun safe and try to protect yourself. So I went about sketching product ideas. And I remember the first sketch I had, it was on a bit of pen and paper. I found this program called Upwork where I could hire someone to help design it using CAD software, which was also new to me, all these terms. I took a photo of it. I uploaded it, probably cost me about $45. And then the next day he came back with a file that was 3D. And I just had measurements with a pen and paper, nothing fancy. And then I took that and I went to a place on the coast, didn't have much money at the time, and I just said to them, am I able to get this printed in the most basic 3D form, just something? They did it, and I went back later that day, and here was something I'd drawn a bit of paper, and then it had come to life. Like, it didn't function, it didn't open, it didn't do any of that, but it was a basic shape and size, and that was a wow moment that, okay, things are starting to move ahead here.
I can do this.
Yeah, I can do this.
And that's just how it began. I mean, okay, but you still have to take this from concept to little, you know, 3D printing version that's in my hand now to this huge, you know, industry that you're trying to now break into the US market. So from the point of what do I do now to, okay, I've got something, like, how did you take that or go from that to there? Like, what do you think is the main reason you were able to grow this?
Certainly. I think the main reason is that I was passionate and I was committed, and that's what got me up every day. So for the first, you mentioned at the start of the call that you've started from nothing and it's been a struggle and you commit. And those first 2 years, I was able to keep the business going by taking a house deposit that I'd worked hard for down in Sydney. And I decided that was more valuable to be in the business. So that kept me going. I then sold my car for the first 2 years and rode a bike around the coast. And then I'd catch a bus if it was raining. And it was funny. You turn up to meetings where you're trying to talk about business and branding and growing and partnerships. And you arrived on a bike with a spare t-shirt clipped on your t-shirt. So then you could change into something fresh and you'd work in. And then I'd work on the weekend at a pub. And that allowed me to then have Monday to Friday to work on this idea. So I think I could only do that because I was committed and I was like, I'm going to make this happen. I'm not treating it just as something on the side. I really wanted to go all in. And those first 2 years, it was a steep learning curve because I had no idea about branding, packaging, and just spent so much time at product design, prototypes. You went through all of that and every day getting up, going in. And often you would go, okay, what's next? And you can scour the internet, talk to lots of different businesses who were based locally, who had started business from scratch. And you're just forever trying to find, what am I supposed to do? Like, there is no clear blueprint on this is what you do. It's just a lot of it. You almost have to feel yourself. But I'm hoping that this conversation, I can share some of what I went through. So then I started with the product because that needed to happen. So working with people to be able to design it, lots of different prototypes. And then, oh, okay, I'm going to need packaging. So I'd go out to shops, look at what's available, and then combine that, go and speak to a lot of businesses. And thankfully, they knew that I was starting up from scratch, and I would always make sure I shared that. Like, I wouldn't try to present that I was a big company. I would tell people, look, I'm starting this. I don't have a lot of resources. I'd love some assistance. And a lot of those businesses that did help, and maybe they didn't charge me, when it was time for me to maybe use their services, then I went back to them. And I think one very strong part of starting this business journey and what has made it successful is relationships.
Yes.
Just the effort and the focus that I've always placed on thanking people who were a part of it, and even years later, going back and letting them know that this is where the business is at now. Thanks for your input at this stage. Being very genuine and making sure I acknowledge that they have played a part.
This episode is brought to you by CWG Marketing and Design Studio,
a full-service advertising, marketing, and web design agency that specializes in bringing you big results. Visit us at cwgdigital.com for your marketing needs.
Yes, I actually talk about this on my podcast quite a bit. I believe that kindness is like the base point of every business, of every transaction. Like, if you start with kindness, but without expecting anything in return, I say you're number one to take care of, then your team is number two to take care of, and then your clients are number three, because you can't take care of them if you don't take care of the first two. So back to where I'm going is, if you start with kindness without expecting anything in return, the people you are kind to will come back. They will come back when the time is right, when they are able to provide you with the value, you know, that you've provided them. And I truly believe that it's the people, it's the networking, it's the generosity of just, I care about you. I'm not concerned about you being a competitor. You know what I mean? Let's just lift each other up. Let's lift all of each other up and good things happen. So I think that that's what it sounds like to me, is these businesses or these friends or these people showed you this beautiful kindness, and you just naturally felt what the right thing to do was. And I think that's freaking awesome.
So true. I feel like there's certainly a difference between when I was like Raf working in a corporate environment and Raf now in your own business, in this sort of startup entrepreneurial life, because you can really be yourself. And I find that what I do now, since I started this shift and left Sydney and moved back, I am myself every day, no matter what I'm doing. And it's such a good feeling, because you're not having to keep any of that reserved as you might be in an office environment at times. I'm so very thankful for that. And I feel that that's how I normally operate with my friends. So why can't these people that I'm coming into contact with business-wise, why can't I treat them the same? And you can, and it just feels so much more rewarding. And there's one story which comes to mind where, as you said, you're taking these actions, but you're not doing it to try to get anything in return. And there was at one point, actually, I'll lead up to this. So there was one point where, okay, after about 18 months, you come to the point where it was time to get the product out there. And we went through, we did a Kickstarter campaign because we didn't have the funds to be able to create that first run. And we planned that. And I'd say a big part is always planning what you can, making sure that it's done quality. So the Kickstarter campaign, myself and a couple of other people, we spent 4 months planning it, making sure that it was going to be a success. And we had a $50,000 target that we wanted to get to. And throughout that stage, and even today, it's not just throwing money at an idea. It's thinking, how can we be creative and leverage what little resources we might have to allow it to happen? So with the Kickstarter campaign, we wanted to have a launch event and then somehow take brand, our message, what our mission, what we want to do on a bit of a roadshow. So all we did was we selected towns where I grew up and our family moved around a little bit. We had all this support in regional as well as the major cities in Australia. And very, very cheaply, we were able to travel to these places, use the media that we got from our launch campaign to send it to them. And then they picked the story up. So then each town we went to, we were able to get TV, news, radio, and then posted all that online. And that sort of brought this idea that, hey, this person's created this product, but this is the reason behind it, help him bring it to life. And it snowballed to the point where a couple of days before, everyone's messaging, okay, you're still 2,000 short. What are we going to do? Tagging everyone in. Back in the days when like Facebook, that was it. Everyone was hundreds of comments, and it really was the communication platform, and it worked really well. And we got our target in the end, and that allowed us to kick off the first part of manufacturing. And I thought, this is great. And then a few months later, we're going to need another injection of money. And it's like, okay, how are we going to do this? And then I remember speaking to different people, and this is where I could go back to those that I had worked with in the past, were friends, and they had more of a network of investors and professionals than I ever did. And I'd already proved to them through previous years that, okay, I was dependable. If I'm saying I'm going to do something, I'm going to. So I'd go to people and I wouldn't have a problem asking, not saying, hey, do you have money? But this is what I'm needing to raise. Is there anyone you could talk to? I'm happy to present. And then one particular gentleman said, he used to be the chairman and CEO of many companies. He's in his early 70s. And he knew me and he liked me. And he said, put together a little proposal. I've got someone that I can share it with. And it was a particular family, and they were a billionaire family. And I'd met them before, and they were wonderful. And they did a little bit in this skin cancer melanoma space. They were very generous, and he put together the proposal. And in that proposal, I didn't ask for the money. I said, okay, in return for equity, I'm happy to, if you could consider this amount, I'm happy to give this much. And then I sent it to her. And then a couple of weeks later, we were at an event, and I thought I'd be able to chat to her. And she, before I said anything, she just handed me a check. And I looked down, and here was a check, and it was for a lot of money. And I said, what's this? And she said, you know what, Raphael? She said, so many people come to us and they always ask for money. She said, you're the only one that's ever offered to give equity in exchange and make this a professional exchange rather than just asking for money because we got it. So she said, for that reason, here's a gift.
Oh.
And gifted the business. From that point on, it's almost just reinforced that you don't need to ask for people. And along this journey, angels, special occasions, however you want to describe it, will appear. So because you're passionate, have faith and just keep working and doing what you can, because I can only control a very small amount of this particular journey. And these people that pop up and help and calls you might get from Facebook or other examples we might go into, that just happens. And it sort of just keeps that fire alive that, hey, you're doing what you can. You just keep on this journey.
Yeah. Control the controllables. So the podcast I just recorded yesterday, that's all that you can do. You got to keep pushing forward. You got to control the controllables, and then you got to let go of that which you cannot control, so you can focus more rigorously on the things that you can that bring value to, you know, to others and to yourselves. I love your mind, man. This is cool. So talk to me about this collaboration with Facebook and Amazon Australia. How did this happen?
Sure. So to almost answer your previous question as well, how did I get from sitting down, having no idea about a product, to like 6 years later, being able to work with those two companies you mentioned and other big partnerships with big brands? I think going back to why I originally started and what I wanted to do was, yes, have a product, but also work with companies and find new creative, fun ways that you weren't bound by any script to be able to make ideas come to life. And so from day one, it's always been, what organizations can we work with that will, one, help give us credibility, but also allow us through our own events or small initiatives or online campaigns to share what this other organization is doing? And that's what really surprised me, is that these huge, big organizations that might be known around the world are still happy to work with small little businesses and tiny little brands such as ours, because they like what we're doing. We're passionate. We involve people. We're making sure we make an impact in our own community. And that's what really took me back when I started and understood with this Facebook campaign, is that early on, you want to get out to the world. You don't really want to worry about Australia or your own community. You want to get out to the other countries. But then I realized, no, like, you should always, like, your community where you live is your home. You should always be able to make an impact and help people there, whether it's volunteering time, mentoring, running a little events here, like, really make your impact in your own community first. And because we were starting to do that with putting a few events on that would raise some money and awareness for skin cancer, they were fun events. There was music. There were ones where you'd try to create a world record putting sunscreen on. Like, it's just coming up with new fun ways that gets the attention, because you're showing real faces. You're showing real faces, real people. You're out and about. You're able to share that, rather than here's a business that says they want to create awareness as their underlying mission and try to help people prevent skin cancer, and they've got a product, but what are they doing? Are they just selling this product, or are they actually doing, taking action? So that's always been what we've tried to do. And from that, Facebook was touring around the country trying to speak with different small businesses, as well as give them tips on how to use the platform to help grow.
May I ask when this was approximately?
This was 2019.
Oh, okay. Oh.
2019. Wow. And then a local business chamber, a friend there said, hey, you should speak with Backslap. They're doing some pretty cool things. And they got in contact. I was able to sit on a panel discussion and had lots of business, small business people in the community listen. And I really liked, and that made me realize, hey, I actually have learned a lot in the last couple of years. And from that, they pulled me aside and they said, you know what? We're actually working on a bigger campaign, and I think Backslap might be perfect for it. And I was like, yeah, okay, park it away, go back to work. And then a couple of months later, I got a call, and it was a guy with an accent. And he's like, oh, I'm calling from Facebook. And I'm like, okay. And he said, well, just letting you know, you've been selected. So it was one out of 30 businesses, small businesses in Australia, that had a product for purpose, is what they coined it. But they were really using their platform and doing it in a way that they could share their brand story. Like, they were combining all these elements that they wanted. And yeah, so for the next few months, they built like a little set for Backslap down in Sydney. They filmed all this content. Suddenly your face and your brand would pop up in banks. It was on billboards. And then we went to like the capital of Australia with a Parliament House. You'd speak to MPs, and it was really pretty surreal. And it was just like, Facebook's a brand that sits here, and you're like a tiny little business. To actually be able to meet people from that business face to face, it was a really cool moment. So that sort of elevated us, one, with sales during that time, but it was more so a bit of credibility that would then allow us to go and present to other businesses who were quite big in Australia and say, yes, you might not have heard of us, but this is what we've done. We have been recognized. We have been able to do these activities. So would you consider a partnership with us? And it really helped build our case, because early on, when I went to some big cancer research organizations, some of them didn't take a chance, others did, because really it was just a product with a drawing at that point. But it was like, this is what we want to do. Are we able to work together on something? So I'm very thankful for those that did see that we were genuine in wanting to create and support the work that they do. And that sort of snowballed over the years to allow us to be able to work with Volkswagen. And I always wanted to have a car company to be involved, because there's ideas I have, as well as locally. We've got this branded vehicle that people can see, and it's just delivering that sunsafe message. Backslap, what's that? I see that all the time. And then they Google it, and wherever that might take them, that's beautiful. But at least they're learning about the story organically rather than an ad appearing in front of them.
Oh, that's awesome.
And then that sort of springboarded into Amazon using their platform. And then again, making sure that I took a proactive approach in not just using a platform, but getting to know the people and building relationships inside that organization. So you'd have an account manager, you'd have someone that would help run advertising, and then you'd speak to them, give them a call. Hey, what's going on? Like, what are you up to this week? And they were quite taken aback, because it's usually the client asking them. But so then you would build this natural relationship, which is, thanks very much for your help. What's going on with you and your work? And then you would start to comment on one another on LinkedIn. And then it might be an email or a call where you talk about everything but work.
Those are the best.
That's what it's about. And then at the same time, not being afraid to ask. And I would say to them, hey, is there any opportunities coming up where I can share a bit more about what we're doing? And then they would say, yeah, leave it with me. Then they got Backslap on a blog. And then they said, you know what? We wouldn't mind coming up and showcasing your brand, because they also want to make sure on their platform you're able to share your brand and your story more so than just a product. And that's always been important, that you're not just having a listing where it's a product and a couple of dot points. Now you can showcase your story, videos, and that message so much better. And so they came up, they filmed a really quality video sharing the story where that was the focus on the Sunshine Coast. Then photos, they put us on the front cover of their annual report. And like, it's pretty surreal to think that that's what happened, and that you can have Amazon and Backslap and you're still this small company in a regional area of Australia. Yeah, those sort of moments definitely keep you going, but it just goes to show that no matter what size, like, you can work in these partnerships, and they're putting in as much as you're putting in to it.
It's putting the right people in the room and treating them with respect, you know, and kindness. Can I ask you a little weird, I guess it's a weird question, you don't have to answer it, but do you think your sister was guiding you?
I still think she is guiding me now. I think that's just, it's the best part. And there's certain moments where people, where they do make those calls, or you might meet someone and I feel like, wow, that was unexpected. I might almost just give a little nod off to the side, almost just going, thanks, Tess. I certainly think that she is a big part of it. And I do what I can to make sure that her pictures are shared, her name is mentioned, not only for myself and my family, but her friends. And you just never know who else that might help. And as well as her husband and her daughter, who's 11 now, like, she's asked questions, what's mummy like? And it's beautiful to be able to have these videos where she can see photos, friends sharing stories online. It's beautiful to be able to document this. In 2 weeks, there'll be a book that a friend put together, launching it for his organization, where it has all these different stories in it. And one of them, thankfully, is the story of my sister and sort of what that has led to. So now that's going to be in print, and it just details what she was like growing up, how she has still impacted what I'm able to do today in her honor, and then lots of photos. So again, it's just something else that her daughter in particular is able to keep, as well as my family. So yeah, she's very much part of it. And what better and more rewarding way do I have each day, especially if I'm getting caught in this particular task or this particular email? I feel like every now and then I'm pulled back, just reminded, hey, this is what you're doing and why. Just relax. Yes. Think of the bigger picture.
Wow. So I just lost my dad, and he was like my best buddy. You know what I mean? And it was, it was cancer. It was 9-month period. And then, you know, I had gone back and forth for, I think, 18 weeks, over 8 months. And, you know, losing him was horrible. But for me, it was very special, because I knew exactly how he felt about me, and he knew exactly how I felt about him. And it was love. It was pure, just love and respect and appreciation. And I feel like he's always with me. Like, it's not a weird feeling or a scary feeling. You know what I mean? I have no doubt that he is guiding me to help me make the choices, you know, that are right. And sometimes rejection is his protection for me. So I feel it's totally possible. And I think that sometimes you make good and bad decisions, but you learn from them, which is also a guidance. So whether it's fathers or sisters or somebody else, I believe we're all getting guidance. We just have to decide which way we're going to go, right? That's our job.
It's really important to be able to come back to what you're passionate about. And particularly if you have lost a loved one, like they are always there. And like 2022, I would say, was probably the most difficult year of my life. Things happened personally in the business where you were cruising along, and it sounds like to your listeners, it sounds all cruisy. I got into it. You had people helping you out. You got Facebook. It went like this. And then it sort of hit a year where life happens, things happen, and it's like blow after blow after blow. And you think, okay, is this putting the business in jeopardy? It's tough, but you can reach out to those people that are either around you or those that aren't. But my sister was definitely one where I was like, hey, help me with this. Like, my thoughts are everywhere. How am I going to do this? And one exercise that I found during that time when it was like not rock bottom, but it was like everything was just the weight was, yeah. And it was like, you know what? I woke up one morning and something said to me, just write a list, Raph, two columns, one side, everything that you're thankful for. So I'm like, okay, I've got lots, or everything that you're thankful for. And then I was like, now put in the other column what needs to change or what sort of causing problems. And it was probably two or three dot points. And I'm like, look at the difference. So I stuck that on my wall. I'd look at throughout the day when I get up in the morning, and it was easy. It just put things in perspective to be like, you know what? Yeah, there's a few difficulties, but look back in the rest of your life, any other difficult situations where you've been overcome. This might seem like it's greater because you've put more into it, but this is what you want. Like, you want these challenges in life and in business so then you can learn to deal with them. And looking back, you'll be able to go, yeah, okay, this is how I overcome it. So it hasn't always been rosy, but it is nice to know that you do have people that you can go to and just draw some inspiration and strength and almost help pull you out of it.
You're a pretty cool person. So what are your plans? Like, what strategies, you know, you need to take this? Obviously it's already blown up, but you want to expand this. You want to take this to the next level, bring it out to the US. Like, what are your strategies to get there? And I'm very interested to know, like, what marketing tactics that you use to help you grow, if not only this networking and creation of just surrounding yourself with the right people at the right times. So a couple of questions. What are your growth strategies? What do you plan to do, and how do you think you get there?
Certainly. So a lot of reason for the success marketing wise in Australia hasn't been spending money to create that marketing. It's been getting a little bit creative, coming up with an event and working with other brands to then create that. And from that opportunity, you're able to pull a lot of organic content of people, stories, missions that really comes to life on that event day. And then with that, you always are then able to get earned media. So we put a call out and you tend to get news, radio, television that'll come along, document it, and then that will then generate more awareness for the brand. You can then use that by putting it in emails as a little PS. Hey, did you see us do this on TV recently? And it just adds more credibility. So we've really tried to always create that because it ticks the box of allowing our business to grow and create that awareness rather than just running paid ads. It's genuine. And then we leverage that to then keep growing more brands, approaching different retailers, maybe reaching out to other people online who can help us grow. So it's all a combination. And then from that, we've obviously been able to get to where we have in Australia, trying to grow our retail presence because I just don't want to restrict it to online. I want people to be able to go into shops, pick up the product. And on that packaging, it's very clear, the story, the mission, colors, like the feel of the brand. It's something that they can read. And even if they don't, at least it's planted that seed in them and at least made them think for a moment, okay, now I know a little bit about the story. And if they see it later on, which customers do mention, great, we've done our part. And then so we feel like we'd love to be able to take that message and our model that we've used over here of working in collaboration with business as well as not-for-profits and coming up with creative ideas, some of maybe that we've used here or maybe tweaked them to see what might work best in the US market. And a couple of years ago, we thought, okay, maybe we're ready to start exporting now. We weren't. We'd then done a lot of research. We got part of a Queensland government program the last 12 months, which was specifically about exporting. And that really opened our eyes to, okay, this is what needs to be in place before you do enter a market. And then now I'd say in the next couple of weeks, we're close to signing with a particular business over there that we can really start to ramp up. And again, a business that understands what we're doing, why, and they want to get behind that. That's really important to us. Not a business that, yeah, it's a pretty cool product, we could sell it. It's like, no, no, no. There's a connection with why we started the business and they want to help and their team are on board. So that's who we want to work with. Because to this point, retailers, some online businesses have just found us organically. And look, they've been happy with the product. I love sharing it, so I'd love for that to grow on a different level. And I'd say when we do go to the US, it'll be similar to Australia, where you might do some creative guerrilla marketing. Maybe you leverage Volkswagen to be able to provide a vehicle when you're over there, get that branded, maybe do a little 1 week trip on a particular area. It might be like a coast of California and Florida, just so you can bring to life, hey, this is what we're doing and why, get to speak to people, really grassroots. That's how it started for us over here. So I'd imagine that would be the same way we would start over there and just generate a bit of in-market content. And I always have this idea that I'll eventually start appearing on news programs over there to be able to share the story. And I'd really love for my mum to be with me. She's been a part of me with different events we do here. And look, she's such a vibrant, happy woman. That's everything's positive. She got this beautiful blonde hair with pink and yellow and purple, this color. She just oozes energy and happiness. And I'd love, and because she's been such a part of what I've done over the last 6 years at different times, I'd love for her to be a part of this too. And it just sort of would be true to why we started the business, what we're doing, to have her a part of it. So that's sort of the idea in my head. And that's how it started 6 years ago with these sort of ideas and visions. So I have no doubt that it'll happen. And anyone who I can, I'll bring along for the journey. And I'm just looking forward to the amazing people in the US that I look forward to meeting, as I have done here in Australia. But yeah.
When you're allowed to share, please message my team so we can get it out there for you, because we're going to be really excited to share for you, you know, the congratulations of whatever it is. I know it's amazing. I have no doubt. You know, maybe we'll have to talk to mom and see what it was like as a mom watching your son take tragedy to a value, offering a different kind of love, right? That's really what you're doing. You're bringing value to people, something that is needed that people don't realize, right? I mean, I always forget. It's the back, and it's like the right next to my straps of either my bathing suit or my tank top or whatever. But I only get burnt like right there, because those are the spots I don't even think about, you know, or it's like nobody's with me to get my back. Or my Wyoming, man, it is so freaking dry right now. Like, being able to use that for lotion, I mean, just, I can't reach it. You just can't put lotion back there. So I'm definitely going to have to get me some of those.
Erica, just on that. So when we did start, we were very much focused that this is an applicator that you can use for sunscreen. This is why we started it, share that message. But then after we did launch, probably about 18 months later, sorry, not 18 months, probably about 3 months later, because we launched just before Christmas period. Then it was hot in Australia because our Christmas period was summer. Then sales would drop, and then we were like, oh, okay, what are we going to do now? And then we started noticing that a lot of people were commenting online, hey, this is great because I can use it at home for lotion. But more so the older demographic saying, I live by myself. My husband's passed away. I need to put medical cream on. I can't reach. Sometimes I have to get a neighbor to come over and it's embarrassing, but now I can keep my independence by using this. And so it sort of took a shift that there are other uses for the product. And at the end of the day, you're helping people in some way. So that's been very rewarding. And then to have some of the older demographic then make a comment, hey, I just purchased your product. It might've been 6 months later or as a gift, because I want to give it to a grandson. He's not that conscious in the sun, and maybe this just might encourage him to be. So it's been quite a journey, because we create a product or a business with a purpose to begin with, but it can certainly go off in different directions, and none of it really, all of it helps people, but it certainly continues our core mission of this is why we started.
Wow. So, okay, I ask this question to everybody. Who do you think has the most influential for you?
I would say originally when you were talking about it then and you mentioned who's the most influential entrepreneur, I know that I don't have one particular person. I think you're just constantly looking for people that you come into contact with that are genuine. They follow through with what they're going to say, and they're happy to give without expecting something in return. So meeting those people are great. But then when the other half of your question, where it could be anyone, I would still say mum and dad are my benchmark. Their relationship to one another, because they're seven brothers and sisters or seven siblings. So the way that they've always been able to provide, and just the encouragement they give to each one of us who've all gone in our different path. And if we ever need to, we can go back to them, and they're there to help in any way that they can. I'd say that they're sort of my guiding light. If I was to make this decision for the business or even in life, could I go and say that to my mum and dad and then be happy with it? And if ever I get a feeling that they wouldn't be accepting of it, or it's not really, doesn't really align with them and what they do, then I know it's not the right decision. So I'd say those two.
Wow. Oh, that's empowering. Well, I've enjoyed talking to you. I could sit here and chat with you forever. I love in the beginning of what you said is the why not, right? Just why not? If you have a dream, If you have an idea, if you have a goal, why not?
You just know that so much is going to come from starting your own business and following that than you'll ever get from working for someone else. Like, why not? Because you only get one life, and if for whatever reason it doesn't work out, you can always go find another job or something to do. But yeah, why not have a go?
Why not? All right. Well, thank you so much. Again, thank you for putting up with me, and thank you for joining me. Thank you for having a little odd hours over there just to talk to me. So you have been a pleasure. I'll make sure that all of your information is in the show notes. And again, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much, Erica.
Wow, what a great episode. I hope you had as much fun as I did. If you want more of this goodness, make sure you subscribe so that you get notifications for future podcasts. And if you found value from this, please share it with others. You can visit our website at cwgdigital.com. This is Erica Bailey. I am your host, and I will see you next time.
This episode is brought to you by CWG Marketing and Design Studio, a full-service advertising, marketing, and web design agency that specializes in bringing you big results. Visit us at cwgdigital.com for your marketing needs.